Hello, everybody. Welcome to Self Help Show. This is Gina and I'm your host. Today, I am joined by Benny and we are going to uncover all things stoicism. I want him to give us a definition of what that is. And I'm just going to hand it directly over to him to introduce himself. So over to you, Benny.
Yeah, and thank you for having me on the show. And I'm happy to talk about Stoicism. That's something that I live my life by. But what is Stoicism? Stoicism is an ancient Hellenistic philosophy, which means that it came from Greece, like around 300 years BCE. And then it was later popularized also by the Romans. We have the books that are left are from old Roman emperors like Marcus Aurelius, Seneca, who was a statesman in the Roman Empire, and Epictetus, who was a former slave turned Stoic teacher, and those are the main writings that we have left. But basically, what the philosophy is about, I always explain a little bit like it's a version of Buddhism, but more Western and more pragmatic. But the goal is to live a good life, to strive for a state that they call eudaimonia, which is a good state of good spirit and character. So we really try to preserve our character and soul. That's really what it's about.
That's quite interesting. You know, before I actually realized that a lot of quotations that people use on the internet, they're actually from Stoicism. This is something that I did not know. It's something that I think over time, I realized that maybe there'll be an underwriting on the quote that says Stoic, which is what you are talking about. So do you have any of like the famous quotes that you can tell us before I say some of the famous ones?
Yeah, definitely. And if you're looking for quotes, like on my website, we have like hundreds of them and all like with the references. So if you want to look for them in the books. But one of the famous one from the founder, Zeno, he said, "We have two ears and one mouth, so we should speak half as little as we should listen." Or for example, Marcus Aurelius, you want to be a good person, but do it now, right? Choose to be good right now. Or we suffer more often in imagination than we do in reality. Some of those quotes. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, that's the one I was going to even mention. Like, you know, these are quotes that are mostly in the spaces where people, like if you're a motivational speaker or you share any motivational quotes, and then people share all of these quotes. But one thing that was almost like surprising for me was in us sharing all these quotes, I had no idea they're all Stoic, coming from Stoicism, which is where I feel like you're here on the show to just kind of give us a highlight or almost like an explanation of what that is and how it's actually part of our society, or it's become an integration of what the digital era stands for, especially when it comes from motivational content all the way to just support and like community building.
Well, most definitely. And if you look at, for example, in Christian religion, the Bible, they used a lot of inspiration from Seneca and Epictetus, and they really use that into their writings as well. And if we look at the main concept of Stoicism, it is based in virtue, right? So that's the only thing you really need to live a good life. That's what the Stoics say. That came from the Cynics. So they say, if you want to live a good life, just be virtuous. That's the only thing you need. And they break that down into four cardinal virtues. And, you know, in Christianity, they've added a few more, but you have wisdom, courage, temperance, and justice. And they say, like, if you learn to apply those four aspects in every action that you have, then you're going to live a good life, because then you have that peace of mind, right? Because you know that you're doing the right thing. So that's a lot of the, and when you look at the famous like self-help books, like the Mark Manson, like Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, and you have all these things, they reuse a lot. They are often identified as Stoics, right? They get that question. It's like, oh, are you into Stoicism? For example, one of the things that Epictetus talks about is about the dichotomy of control. He says, like, just focus on what's up to you. And what's up to you is only your thoughts, your opinions, your actions. And anything else, your body, your reputation, money, fame, wealth, that's not up to you, right? That's up to fate. Yeah. So these are the things that people get often identified with as Stoics when they're talking about these things.
So is Stoicism a religion, or it's more of a belief system? What exactly is it?
Well, it's a philosophy, right? And even if you look at the ancient philosophers, the Stoics, they were all discussing and talking about what the right way to live, right? This was their goal to investigate that. So they come from Socrates. They see themselves like in the line of Socratic philosophies. Like what you have with Plato and you have all these others, they really follow that kind of belief system. But it is a philosophy, and that's something that I really want to share as well. It's not necessarily that I want to turn people into Stoics, but I really want people to find their own philosophy of life, right? Stoicism works for me. It speaks to me. It's kind of the words they use, the ideas that really speaks to me, but that doesn't necessarily have to work for anybody else. They can use a little bit of it. So for me, it's really a guide to living the life. But you can listen to other people, listen to other philosophies, and just make that into your own and make that as a like a foundation for your own well-being and to living good.
Okay. So one thing also I want to talk about is how the ancient philosophy taught warriors and leaders and creators how to master themselves instead of chasing control over everything. So do you kind of say that's like divine stoicism? That's like the epitome of it.
Yeah, this is what, when we look at the Epictetus guy, like he wrote, or he didn't write, he had one of his students take notes as he was teaching, but that's what the book start with. Like he has a little handbook. So for people, there's like discourses where you can read like full on lectures that he gave or like talks with people. But there is like a shortened version, which is the Enchiridion, a little manual, a little handbook. And that's one of the first things, right, that he starts with, to talk about what is up to you and what isn't up to you. And one other thing is really important to him is like your desires. What do you want from life? What are you chasing after? And he says, don't chase anything after but virtue and living in accordance with nature. If your desires are outside of that, then you're going to either fall short of them and you're going to be frustrated, angry, or sad. But if you focus it on just doing the best thing in the moment, then you'll always be good. Whether you're a leader, whatever you do in life, whatever role you is, if you just focus on that, you will have the recipe to living a good and peaceful, calm life. We're doing everything that society requires of you to do.
Yeah. This is amazing. So is there like a specific place where this is taught? Is there some kind of gatherings where, you know, philosophers from all over the world come and just like share the Stoic word and stuff like that?
Well, interestingly enough, as we record this, Stoic Week is happening. So there is a foundation called Modern Stoicism. They have like a Stoicon annually, which is an online event. Stoic Week is happening, which is an online kind of a 5-day course where you can live like a Stoic. So they have like a set a course out each day. There's a specific topic, right? I think today is virtue. So what does it mean? How do I live by it? And then there's like Stoas all across the world that they hosted in. But a lot of it is kind of scattered, right? It's difficult to find other people who live by this philosophy in the way that most people like how it's really meant to be lived. So, but more and more you start to notice people. That's why I went online to find people who I could speak to this about. I used to do like Twitter spaces and go to online events because it is difficult to find the other people who want to talk about this stuff.
That is true. Okay, interesting. Is there anything else that you kind of, because we're kind of tackling what that means, but the topic of today's episode is to just understanding how it doesn't really matter. Like I believe in just like shared knowledge and like shared beliefs, because yes, I might have a Christian background. However, there's a way of life that I can adapt from either the Hinduism or the Buddhism or the Muslim. At the end of the day, we are all on this one planet, which is God's world. So is there anything that is from the Stoicism that you feel like can be generally applied by anybody who's listening? Doesn't necessarily turn them into a Stoic, but it can definitely improve their life one way or the other, you know?
Oh, most definitely. And I've spoken to many people with different religion backgrounds or no religions. And if you look at the Stoic texts, they talk about God or the gods, right? Nature, the divine, that really means the same thing for them. So how they see the world is they see the world as the logos, right? The big universe. And also, they are probably one of the first ones to identify themselves as cosmopolitans, to see themselves as like, I am part, not just of my little community, which I am part of as well, but if I zoom out, I'm part of the world. And they see the world as pure reason and logic. That is, like, it's determined, right? You have cause and effect. So you something happens and then something else happens. And we have been given, you know, reason and logic in us, like a little spark of the divine, if you will. That's what they call it, right? We've been given that capability to really reflect on things. And that's one of the main practices, you know, whatever background you have, they teach us to examine the events that happen, right? A major concept that they use is the pause, just to take a little step back, because how they see, for example, emotions form is like something happens to us, which they say is neutral, right? All external events are neutral, but yeah, we label them as good or bad because of our belief system, right? We have a certain belief system that says, oh, something happens and instantly, right, we have that impulsive reaction, this is bad. That's nothing, they say like, okay, that's, you can't really change that, right? Maybe with practice along the way, you can diminish that impulse. But at the moment, let's say we can't, right? And then, but we can pause, right? So we can take a step back. And then we can use our reason and logic to find out what's really happening and to question that judgment, to question that impulsive reaction. Is this really bad or can I still be a good person? So then this moment turns into either a lesson for us to practice our virtues, to practice living in accordance with nature and to make the right decision, to make the moral choice. But if we just stay stuck in that impulse, then we can let, for example, anger take over. And we can let sadness if that governs us, then we're not going to make the right decisions. So they are really deep into human psychology as well with emotions. Like a lot of the times people say it's about repressing your emotions, but it's really about understanding the emotions and deeply understanding who you are and how you're connected with all of that. So there's like a sequence of events you can follow. Like you have the event, the first impulsive impression, you pause, you check it. And then you either accept the impulsive impression, maybe it's correct, maybe you reject it or you withhold. And then you see what is my course of action that I should take. So that's something that I think everybody could use. Like, I think we could all use a little bit more of pausing before we jump to conclusions.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's really important because especially now in this day and age that we're in, oh, there's so many things that can cause reactions, you know, like from the news. For example, in the news today, they're talking about this, I think it's what, CI Atlantis. I don't know if you've heard about it or I don't know if I'm saying it right. Like something in the space that's coming towards us, like a spaceship. Yeah. I can't remember the name.
Yeah, these the Atlas, kind of things, yeah.
Atlas, exactly. So it's almost like, oh my God, like you have to really pause and breathe and kind of make the right decision because we tend to just make decisions out of knee-jerk reaction, like, oh my gosh, you know. So I really like what you just said now.
And then we can also come back to that earlier quote, right? We suffer more often in imagination. So for example, with this, yeah, exactly. And with this comment, or for example, when you lose a job or when you go to an interview, we tend to project on like, oh, what might happen, right? You make yourself all nervous. And the Stoics, they say, just be in the present. Just if you are too nervous about the future, just again, pause, but ask yourself, what do I need to do right now? Can I do something about this? You know, this comet is maybe coming our way, maybe not. Can I do something about it now? I can't. So let me just focus on now, you know, having this conversation. This is what my attention is needed for. I'm just having a good conversation with you. And let me focus on this. Let me do my best here. And let the rest, you know, the future is not mine. It's undetermined. The past is gone. Just focus on the present. And that's really like, again, then we connect it with the Buddhistic more mindfulness, like the Eastern is like staying in the moment. And that's really what they're focusing on as well.
I love exactly what you're saying, because I also had a discussion with one of the guests that were on the show, and they were talking about a completely different topic. We were just focusing on ego, and they said the exact same thing that you're saying, which kind of make me realize that, you know what, in this whole life that we're in, sometimes we're not even supposed to be stressed, or we're not even supposed to be worried about anything, because we just have to embrace this present moment that we're in, accept it as it is, breathe, be grateful, pause, and just be. Like, it's really that simple, you know? It's really that simple. Is there any kind of definition from, like, your side of the world, right, that explains why there's so much chaos and ego and, like, is there a terminology that is used from that side, or maybe like a definition, or what causes all of those things?
Well, a lot of the times when people make those, you know, the chaos, or make, like we say, bad decisions or harm other people, is what the Stoics say, and especially what came from Socrates, is people don't do bad willingly, right? There's this term called oikiosis, which is called self-appropriation. So we are kind of wired to do the thing that is best for us, to preserve ourselves, right? Me as an individual, but also me as a part of the society. And the Stoics and what comes from Socrates is say people do bad things because they are ignorant of what the right thing to do is, right? They don't know what the right thing to do is. And it's not that they do it willingly, they just don't know what they should be doing. And that's why they say philosophy is key, right? And philosophy is the school that you need to learn to do the right thing. And we're not going to be perfect, right? That's because they have the sage, the wise person, as an example, who always does the right thing. And even Epictetus and these Stoic teachers say, I'm not that person, right? And it's maybe Socrates was the closest, but we are not that kind of person. So what they're saying is we have an obligation, a responsibility to try to figure out what the best moral choice to do is. And we might mess up, we might make a mistake, but this is the progress that we should be making. So when we see all this chaos and all these people and some people getting annoyed or angry at us, we just need to take a step back and say, okay, what am I supposed to do here? Should I become angry as well? And we just turn it into a shouting match and have no communication or anything? Or should I try to show some compassion for this person and say, maybe they're having a rough day. Maybe they're just suffering here. Or maybe they just don't know what the right thing to do is. And Marcus Aurelius, to come back, is like one of those quotes. He says, you can either instruct them or endure them, right? And instructing them would be by setting the right example, by asking, hey, how are you doing? You know, hey, what's wrong? Can we talk about this? Or and if they're not able to do that, then endure them. It's like, okay, they're doing that, but it shouldn't affect my peace of mind and my calm state of being because I can still control that.
Yeah, I love that. I love how you explained it. So how can you tell one person who's listening how they can start to know thyself? Because I feel like when you have that awareness, you kind of have empathy. It almost comes with awareness. If you have awareness and you have empathy, then you know whatever that it is that you're going to do, is it good for the person or is it not good for the person? So using the philosophy of, you know, Stoicism, somebody who's listening to this for the first time, they're learning what Stoicism is for the first time, where can they start? What is like the ground foundation for them to know thyself?
Yeah, and that is the start, right? That's, again, we're going back to Socrates with that. He was the first, he read it on the temple of Apollo in Delphi, know thyself. But he also said, the unexamined life isn't worth living. So he was really keen on like asking yourself questions, being curious, right? That's where the Socratic method comes from. And again, we can't know if someone else is really doing that. We have to really focus on if we are doing that the best we can. And one of the ways that we can do that is to listen to, for example, when we are struggling with emotions, when you are dealing with anger, you can ask yourself after the fact, right? Because at the beginning, it's really difficult to get yourself out of that state. But once you're out of it, you can ask yourself questions. Okay, what triggered me? Right? Why did I get angry? Why did I stay angry? Where could I have paused? And by asking yourself all of those questions, you will start to know a lot more about yourself. And the great thing about it, you know, this pause that we're talking about, once you start practicing it, it will become shorter, right? Like, for example, if I you know, get angry or frustrated at something, I just take a deep breath and I can move on and focus on what I need to do. And maybe at the beginning, it takes a long time. So you can shorter the pause and you can put the pause closer to what triggers you because you start to recognize it more, right? And a great interesting thing about Stoicism is that it is the inspiration for modern day therapies like cognitive behavioral therapy, right? So they're trying to make that cognitive awareness of what is triggering you. And once you start thinking about it, you create distance between that trigger because you're looking at it from an observer side. You're looking at, this person said something that is annoying me, but I can choose to let that word or those words annoy me or not. Right. So if someone insults me, I can say, yes, that is an insult that hurt me. Or I can say, these are just words from someone who said it. And I can figure out what they're actually trying to say instead of letting me be hurt by those words. And that's something that we can then choose. But if we start to become more aware of what's happening, we can then identify that better and know ourselves, right? Why does this hurt me? What's happening here? So that is that first step. And becoming more aware of what's happening really can help us diminish anxiety, anger, all of these things.
Right. You are so right. So first step is self-awareness and just being in the know of like, okay, this is how I react to specific things. I will give my energy and attention to this. I will not give my energy and attention to this. That's it. Anything else was like any second step, any third step for practicality or practice, anything else?
Yeah, they have like many practices, and maybe two of them are a little bit interesting that we can talk about, and that also coincides a little bit what we were talking before, as a phrase coined by Nietzsche, amor fati. It wasn't something that the Stoics used, but it was something that they are very strong opinionated about, and they say, love your faith, right? Embrace it. Not just accept it, not just say like, okay, they say, this is my situation right now and I've got to love it, right? This is what I've got to deal with. If it's difficult, great. You know, it's a perfect training moment for me to see if I've done my homework, right? If I've studied this stuff well, and now I can put it into practice. So they really embrace the faith, right? Even if it is difficult. And they say, one of the famous things that they say is like, even if you're on Iraq, if you're tortured or whatever, you can still be content. Why? Because you can still do the right thing. Physically, you're struggling, right? They're not saying that it should be comfortable. Physically, you could be struggling and all of that stuff, but you know that I'm doing the right thing, right? And then you have another aspect called memento mori, where they remember, is like, remember that you will die. And I feel like when we talk about death, there should be kind of a rebranding, because a lot of people, we have this really bad label about dying, right? And the Stoics say, why is this bad? It's something that is natural. It's going to happen to everything. It's just change, right? We look at trees, we look at animals, we look at the world around us. It's coming and it's going. And that's going to happen to us as well. Our bodies, you know, as I say in Christianity, dust to dust, you know, our bodies will go back and our souls will go into the logos, into the bigger sphere. That's what the Stoics say. And it is our duty to bring that soul back as best as possible, right? To make sure that it's calm and in line with nature. But we shouldn't be afraid of death, because it's normal. It's a natural thing. And if we can release ourselves from death, then we can start living a lot better. And just to end, it's like with Seneca has one beautiful quote. It's one of my famous. He says, life, it's because of death that you're precious in my eyes, right? Because we have this we have this end date somewhere. We don't know when or what will happen. But if we focus on now and just be grateful and just embrace life, then we can live it to our fullest possibilities.
Right. We're coming towards the end of this. I'm just thinking, oh my gosh, there's so much you said. There's so much you could have said. But before we end, I'm going to say one of my favorite quotes that I came across, which is from Marcus Aurelius. It says, waste no time arguing about what a good man should be. Be one. I think this guy was like, he was incredible in his time. I can only imagine like how it was.
Oh, yeah. And I butchered that quote at the beginning. I'm very bad at like quoting quotes like this. But so thank you for bringing that up. And one really interesting point about Marcus Aurelius and the Meditations, I really urge people to read it, is that this is his personal diary. Right? This was never meant for publication. So there are like different levels to read this. First of all, it's the emperor of the Roman Empire. he's writing about fighting these tribes and dealing with all these things. He's a human being who's struggling with anger, with fear, with change, with death. If you read it, it's a lot about death and all of the things that he's facing. And then there's a stoic side, right? So this is a personal journey that we can read. He was telling himself that, right? He was telling himself, you can be a good person, be one right now. He's telling himself that, right? He's like, hey, why are you making all these decisions? Why are you postponing it to tomorrow, Marcus? Come on, you can do this right now. So that's, I implore people to read that book. It's amazing.
Yeah, I'll definitely check it out. I'm really one big fan of quotes. I think they are almost like a pillar of strength, because if you are in a space where you just don't know what to do, then you kind of look up on somebody from the past, somebody that was a big symbol, you know, either religious or power or, you know, whatever it may be. My favorite pillar of strength or people that I look up to is Nikola Tesla, by the way. I love the science. I love his discoveries, and I just love how he was. So fast forward to now, I think it's very important to kind of draw strength from those individuals, you know, because as much as we have a lot of information, we have a lot of religion, now we are in a space of just a lot of knowledge, and it can be overwhelming because there's this and then there's that and there's that. But if you know thyself, you kind of align with what empowers your self-awareness and what also brings you to become the better version of yourself, you know? So yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And if you're looking for quotes, like we have every day a Stoic quote on our Instagram feed, and our, like, the Via Stoica page, we have like hundreds and hundreds of quotes by Epictetus, Marcus, and Seneca. So if you're looking for some inspiration, just, you know, you can always find it there. Awesome. And we have like quote episodes on the podcast as well every Friday. So if you want to listen.
Okay, that's so cool. Thank you so much, Benny. So what I do with all the guests before we finish off, I always ask you to tell us something that only you know that nobody else knows. So it can be anything personal, can be from your work, from the past or anything. Maybe something that you saw as you're walking past. It can be anything.
I think one of the things that I haven't really mentioned to, well, you know, maybe here and there in passing by, but I remember once when I was going home from, like, when I was doing an internship in Malaysia in Kuala Lumpur, I saw this banner, always stay curious, right? That really hit me really hard, right? And as you're talking about quotes, it was something that I've always remembered. I just, you know, when you have those moments when you just like see something and it's like that really hits you and impacts you. And this was like maybe 20 years ago. So that is something that really impacted me, that moment, to just stay curious and ask questions. And
yeah,
that really inspired me.
That is so cool. I love Malaysia, by the way. Kuala Lumpur is like my favorite place in the world. Yeah. And the fact that you were there is also like, You reminded me how amazing that place is. Okay, great. Thank you so much for joining us today. I think, tell us, where can people find you if they want to follow you, if they want to engage with you, if they have any questions, if they want to check out quotes, where can they get you?
Yeah, they can go to viastoica.com, the website. Pretty much everything can be found there. Even like you can have more information about Stoic coaching, where we help people to either learn more about the philosophy or try to apply it more to their own lives. And follow us on like the Via Stoica podcast on YouTube or on Spotify or wherever. And on Instagram, you can follow me as Benny_Via Stoic. I always have to think about that. Or just via, you Google Via Stoic and you'll find us. That's pretty much
awesome. All right, cool. Well, thank you so much, Benny. And to those who are watching and listening, feel free to share this episode with somebody that you need to know that loves a lot of quotes and that also wants to understand this world of stoicism. And remember to like and share and also just comment if you have any questions. Remember to find Benny and also follow him and ask him any questions that you may have. And stay tuned. I'll see you on the next episode. Bye.